It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Farron Stoth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Farron is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Farron cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Farron Stoth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Farron. Well, we have some great news. As predicted, dividends have increased officially for 2025. We now have companies that are paying 6% plus dividends, have increased their dividends from previous years, and the projections by every insurance company and analyst is that dividends will be increasing for the foreseeable future. Most predictions are in the next 3 to 5 years. Some have predicted dividends will be increasing for the next decade, including Vanguard, for example. And the reason why dividends are on the rise is because interest rates are higher and dividends, which are profits of the company for insurance companies, are highly interest rate sensitive. Now, whether the Federal Reserve does lower interest rates in the future or not is almost immaterial because dividends are really based on bond interest rates. And the bond market, of course, has seen increasing returns, higher interest rates that it's paying, and that is primarily caused by the excess spending of the federal government. I've shared this many times on the show, but this is very, very important to understand. When the federal government spends more money than it receives, deficit spending is what that is. They can't just print money willy-nilly. They have to sell a bond for the extra currency that they print. So, for example, last year, the federal government spent $1.7 trillion more than they received. This most recent fiscal year, the numbers are over $1.8 trillion. In other words, the federal government has spent $1.8 trillion more than it received in tax revenues. That means the federal government has to sell treasury bonds of $1.8 trillion to offset the additional currency that it printed. Now, this goes back to basic supply and demand, understanding economics 101. Whenever you have a large supply of something, you either have to entice the buyer or reduce the price. Well, in bonds, when the federal government sells a treasury bond, the reason why a bond buyer purchases that bond is so that they can receive the interest. So whether an institutional investor is buying a 2-year treasury, for example, or a 30-year treasury, they're going to receive interest on that bond for that period of time, guaranteed by the federal government at whatever the rate of interest is that they purchase the bond. So it's much like similar to a CD. Most people are familiar with this. If you buy a 1-year CD, the bank is guaranteeing they're going to pay you a certain interest rate for 1 year. If you buy a 5-year CD, they're going to guarantee you a different rate. Typically, the longer terms pay a higher interest rate, much like CDs. Now, this is extremely important to understand why dividends are almost certainly going to be increasing over the next several years. And that is because the federal government is showing no signs of reducing spending. By issuing record levels of bond, having to sell all those bonds to bond buyers, this forces the federal government to offer higher interest rates to entice those bond buyers. It just makes sense. But it's not just the new bonds that they're selling. There's a cumulative effect to all of this, and that is this. You see, the federal government does not pay off the debt. It only pays the interest on the debt. It pays interest on the bonds that it sells to the bond buyers, whoever that may be. Oftentimes, it's sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, insurance companies. Again, large institutional investors. So not only is the federal government selling record levels of new bonds because of the excess spending, therefore they have to sell these bonds for the extra currency that they printed because they spent more than they received, but they also have to resell bonds when they mature. So for example, let's say the federal government sells a 2-year bond at whatever the current interest rate is. The bond buyer receives interest on that 2-year bond for that period of time, much like a CD. When the 2 years is up, the bond has matured, which means the federal government has to either pay off the debt, pay the bond buyer the principal, or they reissue a new bond at whatever the new interest rate is. And of course, the federal government doesn't pay down debt. They only pay interest on the debt. Therefore, they are selling new bonds at whatever the new interest rates are, which of course are much higher now than they were a couple of years ago. This is part of the reason why the federal government is spending so much more in interest on the debt. And that is why bond interest rates are pushing higher and continuing to do so, and very likely will continue to do so for the next several years, at least for the foreseeable future. Because the federal government is selling new bonds, new spending, new printing, plus they're selling bonds that matured that they sold previously. So they have all types of bonds maturing all the time, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 2 years, 6 months, all these different time frames. So every year, a certain amount of the bonds mature and they have to resell them. Because of the record level of debt and the record level of deficit spending, spending over above what they receive, we are seeing all-time records, by far, massive records of bond selling. In other words, the federal government is flooding the bond market with treasury bonds. They're selling them like crazy at levels we've never seen or experienced in history. There's so much supply of bonds to sell. There's a glut in the market. Buyers know this because of the excess supply of bonds that the government is selling. They're demanding higher returns, higher interest rates. Well, these higher interest rates force higher interest rates across the board for all types of lending. Also, for institutions that invest in these bonds, like insurance companies, drives dividends higher, profits higher. One of the CFOs of one of the insurance companies I met with recently stated, the bonds they're purchasing today are 2 to 3 times more profitable than the bonds they purchased just 2 years ago. These insurance companies are more profitable on their new purchases of bonds than they've been in decades. In fact, many insurance executives have been openly stating this is the best time, the most profitable time for insurance companies in over 42 years. This is why I've been stating this now for a while, that dividend-paying insurance policies and annuities are producing the biggest returns and have the brightest upside potential we've seen in 42 years. That's just a fact. All of this is happening with a backdrop of, at the same time, we have a stock market at or near all-time highs. Enthusiasm for stocks has rarely been ever higher. We have a gold market also strong, increasing. I've stated earlier, the bond market is increasing with strong returns. That will likely, very likely continue, again, because of the federal spending. But here's what's interesting about all of this. Rarely do you see a situation where the stock market is up, gold is up, bonds are up, real estate values are up. My point is this. Typically, many of those types of markets are in opposition or move counter towards each other. It's well understood by most people that one of the reasons why a stock bond portfolio is often recommended. Modern portfolio theory discusses a 60-40 stock bond portfolio mix for the average investor, and they've done this for 70 or 80 years. They've recommended this. And the reason why is typically when the stock market is strong, the bond market is not so good, and vice versa. By diversifying, you reduce your risk. You're more likely to ensure that you get positive returns on at least a portion of your portfolio at any given time. Again, the stock market tends to thrive when the economy is good. It's smooth sailing, low interest rate environment, good for business. Gold tends to thrive when there's inflation. the economic situation is more dire or concerning. Bonds tend to thrive when interest rates are at average or higher levels. The stock market, the bond market, are giving us different stories. The reality is, one of these markets is right and one of them is wrong. Which one is it going to be? Especially when you look at economic results, inflation, GDP. Who's right? Who's wrong? Is it the stock market? Is it the bond market? Precious metals and gold oftentimes will move more in tandem with bonds. Tougher economic times, bonds will also thrive. So you have two markets on one side of the coin saying, we're looking at some tough economic future ahead of us. And we have another market, the stock market, who's saying everything looks clear and it's smooth sailing. Which is going to be right? Currently, no one knows. I predict in the relatively near future, obviously, the answer will become clear. But I will say this. Rarely is the bond market wrong. Frequently, the stock market has been wrong and overreacted. Why do I say that? Well, for one, it's statistically true. Historically, look at it. Two, the bond market is known in Wall Street as the smart money, quote unquote, because again, many institutional investors invest in the bond market. Small players are not in the bond market. I know this is degrading, but Wall Street often refers to the stock market as the dumb money. It's a much smaller market than the bond market, so place your best bets wisely. Historically, the bond market has been right far, far more often than the stock markets. And we're in a situation with increasing dividends for the next 3 to 5 years at least, if not longer. High cash value insurance policies and annuities are in their best position for growth in over 42 years. Where do you want to place your money? Or should you at least consider diversifying? Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I have some more information about this I think you're going to find very valuable, so I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned. Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com. Our economy has changed. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Assets that thrived in the past decade with low interest rates likely will struggle with higher interest rates. Your Personal Bank dividends are insured, tax-free, and likely to increase for several years due to higher interest rates. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. In the first segment, I was discussing the different markets where they're basically all up. The stock market, bond markets, gold markets. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And soon we're going to find out who that is. Unfortunately, for whichever market happens to be wrong, they're going to pay the price and there will be a significant correction due to the fact that all of these markets are up strongly historically. Now, diversifying, protecting your downside makes a lot of sense. Why do I say that? Regardless of who you talk to, there's one thing that all the experts in all of these markets agree on is this. There's extreme volatility ahead because, frankly, no one really knows what's going to happen. And that's why you see a situation where you have markets pointing in different directions like the stock, the bond, gold markets, and they can't all be right. Somebody is wrong. And as I stated, for example, traders' enthusiasm for stocks has now hit levels that we haven't seen in quite a long time. In the previous times this occurred, the enthusiasm, as they put it, unrivaled enthusiasm for stocks, Citigroup strategists, it's making them nervous. And the reason they're saying that is the last time we were at this point, this position, there was a three-month brutal sell-off of the S&P 500 of over 10%. Now, will that happen again? Hard to say, but it is making Citibank strategists nervous. And this other article discusses the S&P 500 blows past the bond market warnings. See, the S&P broke over 6,000 recently. And most people are saying that investors are continuing to bet that a soft landing for the U.S. economy is in order. They're betting on smooth sailing. In other words, everything's going to have to go right. If anything goes wrong, the stock market and S&P in general, as they are stating here, is going to be in big trouble. As they stated, the bond market is going up because it believes that there's a lot of economic uncertainty ahead, that things are going to be choppy, going to be rough. Anywhere from election uncertainty, regardless of who takes office, geopolitical contentions, economic concerns, you name it. As they point out in this article, the reality is for the stock market to maintain the returns that it's been doing, a lot of things, pretty much everything's going to have to go right. And if things go wrong, it's in trouble. You're dealing with high profit or PE ratios, profit earnings ratios. And here's another article discussing how stocks and gold are both at record highs, but only one is going to be right on inflation. And as this article from MarketWatch states, with U.S. stocks approaching some of the all-time level valuations and gold doing the same, only one of them can be right. Gold, of course, is most of us know, is a safe haven in times of economic and political distress or challenges. And the gold market is becoming increasingly skeptical that the Fed is going to be able to engineer a soft landing. So what the gold market is telling us is that we're either going to have a recession or inflation is going to last a lot longer than the experts or the politicians are trying to tell us, or even the Federal Reserve for that matter. Or we could end up having both recession and inflation, which would be the worst combination. That's called stagflation. Of course, recession and inflation are both bad for stocks. Stagflation would be very bad for the stock market. So the gold market is pricing in a high probability that we're going to see a recession or higher inflation for an extended period of time, while the stock market is not. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, who is going to be right? That remains to be seen. Again, all agree, volatility ahead, because as we see one of these markets correct, it's going to get ugly for those that are involved. And another piece of information that affects the mortgage market is interesting, because this ties in with the bond market. You see, recently the Federal Reserve dropped interest rates by half a point. So many people thought, well, mortgage rates will start to go down some too. But unfortunately, the opposite has happened. And many people don't understand why. You see, the 30-year mortgage rate is not tied directly to the Federal Reserve rate. Rather, they move in anticipation of what they think the Fed will do next or in the near term. So earlier this year, we were seeing the mortgage rates start to go down. We even saw below 6% mortgages even just a few months ago, because it was anticipating that the Federal Reserve was going to lower interest rates. And of course, it did lower them a half a point recently. Yet after that half point interest rate drop, mortgage rates actually didn't start to go back up again. The reason behind that is the mortgage industry is now pessimistic about future rate cuts for the Federal Reserve. Several reasons behind it, but it has to do with economic uncertainty, some of the economic data, much of we've been sharing on this show, uncertainty with the political situation, which party will be in office or will we have a split government, The jobs numbers haven't helped either because they're all over the place. The Labor Department has repeatedly put out rosy labor numbers, yet then later revised them down. And you can only do that so long before people start to really question if it's real or not. In other words, there's a lack of trust with the U.S. Labor Department now on the jobs numbers because they've been so inaccurate over the last couple of years and dramatically to the downside in nearly every case. Also, the mortgage industry is concerned that inflation might re-trigger if the Federal Reserve drops rates too quickly. That is exactly what happened in the 1970s. If you go back in history and look at it and research, you will see that in high inflation impacted nearly the entire decade of the 1970s, but it wasn't a straight line. It went up and down, up and down. And what happened was it started in the early 1970s with the oil embargo. Inflation went up. Of course, the Federal Reserve then increased interest rates to offset that. As they started to get a handle on inflation, as the increased interest rates, inflation started going down, much like what we've seen in the last year or two. But unfortunately, the Federal Reserve was then too quick to pull the trigger to lower rates again. And guess what happened? Inflation reared its ugly head. This happened three or four times throughout the decade of the 1970s until Paul Volcker, Federal Reserve Chair at that time, raised the federal funds rate to 20%. That killed inflation dead. That's what finally eliminated the inflation from the 1970s. Inflation is a tough thing. Once the genie gets out of that bottle, it's a really, really tough thing to get back into control. And many in the mortgage industry, which is lending, that's your banks, gold markets, bond markets, institutional investors, are all concerned that the Federal Reserve may have or will drop rates too quickly. Through their actions, they've already shown that they'll drop rates a half a point off of just one report where they get nervous. In fact, I was doing a workshop here recently in Seattle, and it was interesting. I showed the federal funds rate and the prime rate for the last 28 years. And if you look at the chart, it's all over the place. If you take the prime rate, for example, which is the lowest rate an individual can typically borrow money at. So that's an important rate to keep an eye on for individuals. The prime rate over the last 20 years has been as high as 9.5% and is down as low as 3%. But what's really interesting about it, as you look at the chart, it's up and down. In other words, when the Federal Reserve goes up, they go up dramatically. And then when they go down, they do the same. It's quick. It's fast. It's hard. They overreact. And I remember somebody commenting at that workshop. They said, I thought the Federal Reserve was here to moderate things. I said, I looked at the chart and I stated, does that look stable to you at all? No. The Federal Reserve is like a bunch of nervous Nellies that overreact both to the up and the downside, and they've done so repeatedly over the last three decades. There's a lot of reasons behind it, and there's some political considerations, of course, but their track record has shown over and over and over again, they overreact, therefore overcorrect, and they create these boom and bust cycles, and we're experiencing it now as we speak. Again, the mortgage industry is concerned. And that's why mortgage rates are going back up. They don't think things are going to be good going forward, and that's why you have higher mortgage rates. Again, I'm going to state this one more time, as I did in the first segment. The bond market, the mortgage industry, the precious metals industry are all pointing to tough economic times ahead, uncertainty, difficulty, recession, higher interest or inflation, all of those things. While at the same time, the stock market is sailing along as if everything's hunky-dory and it's smooth sailing. Both cannot be true. Either the bond, mortgage markets, and gold markets are right, or the stock market is right, but they both cannot be right. One of those are wrong. Which one is it? All agree. High volatility ahead. If you want to reduce your risk on a higher volatility situation, you do so by reducing your risk to the market, to the downside. in guaranteed investments like high cash value policies and annuities that are paying higher interest rates and dividends than they have in 42 years and are increasing and likely to increase for the next 3 to 5 years, if not longer. If you want to learn more about that, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. I encourage you to stay tuned in the next segment because I'm not done. I got some more great stuff, so you don't want to miss it. This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. So I've been discussing on this show how the stock market is acting like everything's hunky-dory, smooth sailing, soft landing, everything's going to be great. And if they're right, great. But if things go badly, it could get ugly quickly. The bond markets, the mortgage industry, gold are all saying the opposite. They're all going up because they believe that the economic future is difficult at best. Higher interest rates, inflation, recession, all of these things are on the table. One or both or more of those, they believe, are going to happen in the relatively near future. Both cannot be true. Both cannot be right. We're going to see which one is. Which side are you going to bet on? Now, uncertainty, volatility, everyone agrees on. By reducing your market risk, you can offset the risk to that volatility with guaranteed assets like high cash value policies, annuities, things like that, that are paying the highest dividends, interest that they have in 42 years and are increasing because of the higher interest bond interest rate environment. It's the best time in 42 years, folks. If you want more information on it, like I said, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. That industry couldn't be better right now. Now, there's also some other factors here that are interesting and concerning. Wall Street is now openly worried that stocks may be on the cusp of a lost decade. There's no question the stock market has been on a tear for the past decade or so. But as they're stating, the years ahead may not be so spectacular. And it's a rising chorus. More and more people are saying that investors could be on the very cusp of a lost decade where performance does fall far short of what's happened over the last 10, 15 years. And this is a report issued by Goldman Sachs, and they warned that the S&P 500 could be poised for a below 3% annualized return for the next 3 years. There's several reasons behind it. It has to do with earnings, where PE ratios are. It also has to do because of the spectacular run that the stock market has had in the last, particularly couple of years. It's gone up so far, so fast, it's going to have great difficulty in getting strong returns going forward. That's what they're stating. And if you go back to charts that they're showing that go all the way back to 1940, based on the S&P 500, every time that you've seen a scenario where we've had a decade run or longer, which we've just experienced with the stock market, the returns over the next decade are not so spectacular. And those of you that are old enough to remember the lost decade, we had a situation where the dot-com bubble, where the stock market, it peaked, by the way, in March of 2000. I know, because I was affected by this personally. It didn't reach back to those same point until about a decade later. That's why it was famously called the lost decade. This hasn't the first time this has happened. In fact, as this article discusses, a lost decade occurs more often than most people even realize. Now, they're doing a lot of statistical analysis. And if you want more information on this, I'm just going to encourage you to contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. Adjusted PE ratio, this is price earnings ratios. Goldman Sachs is stating that the S&P 500 is at currently about 38 times PE, which has really only been one other time that it was higher than that, and that was in the dot-com bubble. Every other time since 1930 has been lower. So this is the second highest peak in price earnings, adjusted price earnings ratio we've seen since 1930. The other issue they discuss on this, which is quite interesting, is the high concentration. That was the other point Goldman Sachs stated, is that we have not seen a concentration of just a few companies. In other words, weighting the 10 largest U.S. companies in the S&P 500, accounting for most of the gains, since 1932. We all know that didn't pan out real well after all that. That had a super high concentration, and we are actually currently above those levels. So the concentration of the top 10 companies in the S&P 500 account for more of the profits than at any time in the history of the stock market since 1925. That is significant. As they've stated right here, bonds have a strong chance of outperforming the S&P 500 over the next decade. This is Goldman Sachs speaking. Lost decades, as they stated, occur far more often than most people realize. In fact, we've had six of those in this past century. So there's been six lost decades in the past century. This is all based on Goldman Sachs. So what's interesting, since 1900 to today, you have as many flat or down years in the markets as you have up years. I know this sounds counterintuitive because, well, folks since 2010 have gotten used to things going up. But that doesn't always happen. And again, in 2000 to 2010 was a lost decade, for example. So again, these are all things that Goldman Sachs has done a lot of research on this. They're putting this information out and warning people, those that are willing to pay attention and understand what's going on. But even Goldman Sachs is stating that treasuries, bonds, et cetera, have a high likelihood of outperforming the stock market over the next decade because of what's happened. And just looking at PE ratios, concentration, historical analysis, you name it, they put all this together. And of course, high cash value insurance policies, returns are based on dividends, which are based on bonds, bond returns. And you can get a higher than bond return with the dividends in the cash value policies because insurance companies have other revenue streams in addition to purchasing bonds. Look, you can go and purchase bonds and get whatever that pays you, but you could do the same thing with a high cash value insurance policy and actually get a higher return than that. The point I want to finalize on this is, and this is again the title of an article from Goldman Sachs, it states, the stock market party is over. And they are predicting total annualized returns to be 3% for the next 10 years, which is down from the 13% over the past decade. So that's a significant change. As they stated, the consensus right now in the industry over the next decade is 6%. They are now predicting, and they've adjusted their projections to be at about 3%. Of course, we'll see what happens. But I think this is the type of stuff that's very, very important to pay attention to when you're planning ahead and going forward. and recognize the likelihood and the reality of seeing double-digit returns in the stock market over the next decade are far less than what they were before. You know, fear and greed is what motivate people. So Wall Street discusses this all the time. And their power, fear and greed are both powerful emotions. I was stating one person, yes, they were so excited because they made 21% in their portfolio this past year. And I said, you do recognize that you could lose 21% next year in that same portfolio. They said, we understand that. And that's what scares them. But there was a lot of greed. And she said to me, it's almost euphoric. It's giddy even. I said, yes, I know. And when you get those, you start getting that giddy feeling, that's when you need to be the most concerned. As Warren Buffett often says, he's been famous for stating, be fearful when others are greedy. That's the message I'm trying to share with people. I'm not saying you shouldn't be in the market, but what I am saying is you should reduce your risk. You should diversify. You should have some of your money guaranteed, insured, tax-free, and highly liquid. Why not? Because guess what happens after the correction, folks? Opportunity. If you rode the roller coaster down on the correction, you can't take advantage of the next opportunities. But if some of your money is dry powder, some people call it, now you could put it in the bank and earn a little, or you can put it in a policy and earn a lot more, tax-free, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, as I stated. And while you're sitting and waiting for the next opportunity, it's still going to earn, not do bad, and then take advantage. You see my point. There are benefits to being proactive rather than just being reactive or riding the roller coaster per se. Because you can ride it up and you also can ride it right back down. We all know that. But again, human emotion gets in the way and it's hard to make. Sometimes it's difficult to make disciplined financial decisions when the emotions of being giddy, as she put it, get in the way. You have to remove yourself. The best stock market investors I've seen are very good at divorcing their feelings and their emotions from their decisions. And that's an extremely difficult thing to do, especially when you're talking about money. There's a lot of emotions that are wrapped up around money and human beings. And very, very few people have that ability to be unemotional about money decisions. That's why having somebody to talk to, having an advisor, having a confidant, somebody to bounce your ideas off makes sense. And that's why I'm trying to educate people to help them understand you won't regret reducing some of your risk, especially if you've had some winnings. It's so hard to do. I know. I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen it myself personally and with clients. And I've seen it. This is my third rodeo, as I put, in my career. This isn't the first time I've seen situations where the markets have gone up tremendously, and then people have a hard time pulling the trigger, taking some of the chips off the table. But again, that's what the disciplined person does. It's much like being in Vegas. You've done really well at the table. The chips have piled up. What's the smart gambler do? Take some of the winnings off the table. Play with the house money. That's not a bad option to go with, because then if it continues to go up, great. You take advantage of that. But if it doesn't, you don't lose what you won. Stay tuned in the last segment. I got a few other things I want to share. I think you'll be very valuable.
Are you prepared if we fail to avoid a recession? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Most of the leading economic indicators show we are headed for recession. Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This protects you from the downside risk and allows you to take advantage of opportunities in a changing economy. For more info, contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your Personal Bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422. 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me, yourpersonalbank.com. So I saw this article and I saw a TikTok video of all things, but I thought it was extremely interesting because it had to do with inflation and the purchasing power that people have 40 years ago, basically in 1984 versus 2024. And it's interesting, the median household income was around $27,000. Then today it's about $79,000. But probably the biggest difference is in housing. You see, the median house in back then was around $65,000, or would translate to about $250,000 in today's money. Of course, the average median home right now is at over $430,000. So therefore, the average cost of housing has nearly doubled from what maybe your parents or grandparents paid in mid-1980s. Now, this TikTok video is quite interesting because young man was sharing some of these very ideas and thoughts, and I thought it was really great that he was going into this stuff because financial literacy, as many of us know, is not real common. So to see a young man sharing some of these thoughts on TikTok, I was actually quite pleased to see. And he was doing great until the very, very end where he fell off the boat in terms of financial literacy. And here's what I mean. So he's discussing how things used to cost less, but adjusted for inflation. But of course, housing is one of the biggest things. Food, many other things do cost more today than they did back then, even adjusted for inflation. But then his solution was we needed to rein in corporate greed and tax them a higher capital gains rate. And I was like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. He just, economics 101, he didn't understand one of the very, very basic things, and it's this. Corporations pay no tax. They just pass it on to the consumer in their price of goods and services. So guess who pays whatever tax rate that corporations have? It's the consumer. He clearly did not understand that or did not share that information. So he was calling for a higher capital gain tax rate on corporations. Well, folks, all that would do is cause everything to cost more. He didn't get to the heart of the matter. And that's what frustrated me so much. The heart of the matter, the reality is the government's taxing too much and spending too much. That's what causes inflation. Milton Friedman, famous economist, discussed this all the time. The cost of government is not how much they tax you. The cost of government is how much they spend. So, for example, this past year, our federal government spent nearly $7 trillion. They spent about $1.8 trillion of that more than they received, but the cost of the government is nearly $7 trillion a year now. Guess who pays for that? Remember, the government has no money. Where do they get the money from? Taxpayers, or they print more, which creates more inflation, which everybody pays more for. So we all get to pay for this excess cost of government, regardless of whether you pay tax or not. This, again, is straight from Milton Friedman. Look it up. The good news is people are starting to talk about these things, but what they need to understand and be educated is they need some basic financial literacy. And I'll give you another example here. So the interest on the debt for the past year was about $1.2 trillion. Now, that's another number that most people cannot even fathom. But if you break that down to approximately 330 million Americans, this is man, woman, and child. So every single American, divide that up, we got to pay about $3,500 of interest payments to the federal government. That's every man, woman, and child in the United States. And whether you pay taxes or not, you paid an extra $3,500 for goods and services because no one can create inflation except the government. Nobody can spend more money than they receive over a period of time than the government. yes, individuals and businesses can borrow and enhance their buying power for a time, but they have to pay interest or pay it back eventually. So it's not something that's a long-term thing. Only government can continue to do this. And this is the thing that we all need to understand, that we are getting taxed on top of tax on top of tax. And I saw this other video, which was truly amazing to me. And this comes from Will County, Illinois. This is a Democrat board member. So board member of the county commission or whatever that runs the county. And there were some complaints about rising property taxes. And the board member's response, this is the person in charge of all this to run the county. Their response was, well, if you can't afford the rising property taxes, you should just downsize. Now, you want to talk about being tone deaf. If you're elected and you're a representative, you're supposed to represent your constituents. This board member is not representing their constituents. They're just doing what they want to do. By the way, Illinois spent hundreds of millions of tax dollars on illegal aliens, food, clothing, housing, and other benefits. By the way, the board of Will County, voted to raise property taxes again anyway. And as Elon Musk said, we get taxed on top of tax on top of tax. Most people don't realize that they're paying over 50% of their overall income in taxes. When you add up income tax, property tax, sales tax, gas tax, you name it, you add them all up, the average American is spending over 50% of their money, of their income, on taxes. And what does this go to, as Elon Musk states? Well, oftentimes it goes to things that most taxpayers don't agree with. So not only is our government taking it from us forcefully, by the way, taxes are not voluntary, are they? Try not paying taxes and see what happens. So they're being taken from you and then spent on many things like illegals, housing, clothing, whatever, other countries, foreign wars, a bloated bureaucracy. Our founders never intended for a federal bureaucracy to have hundreds and hundreds of agencies and literally millions of employees, government employees. That was never the intention. As I stated last week, our federal government is like an out-of-control HOA. They have a small, limited, narrow focus that they're supposed to handle and be in charge of, you know, commerce, securing the border, military, various things like that, keeping the citizens safe. That's their primary focus. That should be, I should say, their primary objective and focus and responsibility. And everything else that they're doing, they have no business being in. They have no jurisdiction. Look at the Constitution. Read it. It's very clear. Read Article 10 of the Bill of Rights. It'll tell you very clearly that the enumerated powers, these specific powers are listed in the Constitution, are for the federal government, and everything else, states or the people. So they have no jurisdiction from a constitutional standpoint, yet they're spending trillions of dollars, literally, on things that are unnecessary, beyond their jurisdiction. And oftentimes, many taxpayers are against, do not want. And I love this. Because of these things happening, these are some positives. We're seeing movements now of abolishing taxes. Something I've never seen in my lifetime. It kind of started with the whole Trump thing with no tax on tips. It was a great idea. And then it's expanded like no tax. Trump has stated no tax on Social Security benefits. Again, I agree with that. I'm seeing more and more people discussing abolishing property taxes because think about it. If you own a property, yet you still have to pay property tax to keep it, do you still really own it? In other words, if you fail to pay your property taxes, what happens? Well, government takes it from you. So do you really own it, or are you renting it from the government? Property taxes were never intended to be part of the deal. And now more and more people are calling for abolishing the income tax altogether. You know, it was supposed to be temporary. It was supposed to be a temporary wartime thing, I believe, for World War I, and it was only supposed to be 1%. And it was only supposed to be for the top income earners, like the top 1%. Of course, that didn't last long. Nearly everyone has, and nearly everyone who earns income, that is, have to pay income tax. But we're seeing more and more calls for abolishing that, and I applaud that. As people start to wake up and realize what's really going on, abolishing many of these taxes, oh, by the way, as Elon Musk stated, the solution is simple. We need less government. Less government spending, because a lot of people say, well, where are we going to get the money to pay for everything? There's plenty of money to pay for roads and schools and the military and the things that are important and actually in the Constitution and things that the governments actually are responsible for or should be. By reducing the number of government employees, as Elon Musk has stated, he wants to drop them by 75-80%. I think that's a good number. There is tremendous waste. And that's one of the things I love about him being on the, you know, if you vote for Trump, it's not just for Trump. You're getting the whole team. You're getting Elon Musk, the world's richest man for free. That's incredible. As a government efficiency expert, if he removes millions of government employees, do you realize that'll reduce the spending of the federal government tremendously? One of the largest expenses is federal employees. That's true for any business, isn't it? And if you just general government efficiency altogether, I mean, who can really be against that? Unless you just want to buy votes and have power and control. I'm sorry, that is not constitutional. That is not what our country was built on or should be about. The government should be there to serve the people. They're representatives of the people. They should represent their constituents to the best of their ability, not for their own personal benefit, for power or whatever, and should be small, focused, lean and mean, efficient. That's what we need to demand. So I encourage you to support any candidate that supports the government being financially responsible and lean and mean and efficient. But lastly, if you do want to reduce taxes, there are ways legally to do that still. You can do that with your personal bank, grow your money income tax-free, access it tax-free, and even pass it on to your heirs tax-free. I can show you how to do that. Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. As always, stay tuned to the Your Personal Bank show next week. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice. Professional advice regarding your situation should be sought if required. Some products discussed may have limitations and not be available in all states.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.